Morning, morning, morning.
It's the boss. I call shots
like a boss. In the gloss. Check out my lip
gloss. I only rock clear. On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson. I got that.
Welcome back, and we've not been talking a lot of MLB, if for no other reason than it's been somewhat quiet, but there was a big free agent signing, Astros getting Justin Verlander to return to their team in a monster deal for Houston Astros.
Yeah, no kidding. We've missed him the last 2 years. He had a tier $66 million contract, to which we saw him show up for 9 games due to Tommy John surgery. But both Justin Verlander and Carlos Correa rejected their qualifying offers from the Astros. But then he went ahead and agreed to a one-year $25 million deal, which is fantastic because it includes a $25 million player option for the following year. But the best news, if you're an Astros fan, is that we beat the Yankees again in getting Justin Verlander. They, too, gave him a one-year. They are, quote, going all in for the win. You know, they got Cole. And can you imagine the reunion of Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander on the same staff? But they were not willing to do the player option for the second year, which is a little bit curious to me because it's like, listen, you're the richest team in Major League Baseball. You say we are going all in, yet you're going cheap, trying to save $20 million when you just are spending hundreds of millions and getting nowhere. So once again, the Astros have the Yankees number on this one.
So Astros, yes, surprisingly outbid the Yankees for Justin Verlander. The question, of course, is...
Because they're still looking for a veteran starter. New York is.
Well, and the Astros really need the old Justin Verlander. They need that guy.
Oh, yeah, they do.
I mean, he was the ace of that staff. He was the guy who came in 2017 and took a very good Astros team and turned them into a championship team when the Astros won the World Series in 2017.
I mean, he is 38 years old now. That's the chance. Well, the Astros take.
He was good the following season. He was, in 2018, 16 wins, 9 losses, and an ERA of 2.5. So he still played that role of the ace. But then the following year, he had the injury. He's had Tommy John surgery. And it really, at that age, as you noted, he's not a young guy. How well can he pitch after the surgery?
Well, if the tryout he had in front of scouts or teams a few weeks ago is any indication, watch out. Here he comes.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk some college football. Florida is looking for a new coach after firing Dan Mullen. We'll look at who the likely suspects are up next on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's the boss.
And the gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
All right, Florida made the decision to part ways with Dan Mullen, their head coach, who had some success, although lack of consistent success. A big disappointment because I think there were really high expectations that he could restore Florida to great heights. Yet today, Florida's looking for a new head coach.
Well, you know, you're coming off of a year last year, which is the good news, bad news. You had the Kyles, the year of the Kyles. Kyle Trask, under center, and Kyle Pitts, who, you know, fantastic tight end.
Freak of nature tight
end. Yes, both in the NFL now, lost that. They had a great season last year, Florida did. And then now you look at the Gators, who have lost 5 straight to Power 5 opponents, Saturday being a 24-23 overtime loss to Missouri. And honestly, what I thought, so they were 5-6 in his fourth season in Florida. That's not going to happen for Gators fans. And the SEC is a tough place. And honestly, more than the Missouri loss to me, when it was the victory against Samford, not Stanford, as in the West Coast team. Samford,
yeah,
which I didn't even
there.
Know they had a football game.
Right.
A football team. And they beat them like 72-56. Like, to me, I couldn't believe he held on his job, allowing a Samford team to come into the swamp, an SEC team, and hang 56 points on them. I think it's sad. I think with Dan Mullen, great guy. Everybody loves him. I think he's just tired. He's tired of the rigmarole of recruiting. He flirted with the NFL last year, and I think that should have been a sign right there to Gator Nation that I think
well, by many accounts, he was not a tenacious recruiter.
Exactly.
And it is a nonstop job. You cannot be tired and recruit well. The work of recruiting is a 24/7, 365-day effort. And if that's not going to work for you, then this is not the right job for you.
So maybe, you know, he's a great X's and O's guy, to your point. If you go to the NFL as an OC or something like that, you get to concentrate on X's and O's. You don't have to focus on recruiting and year-round and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think you're onto something. Maybe he gets hired in the NFL somewhere.
So there's an opening now, big opening in Florida, and a lot of the usual names come up. The one that surprised me a bit was Bob Stoops, because I didn't really think Bob Stoops had aspirations to coach again. I mean, he's made all the money he ever needed to make, and he did step aside to make room in Oklahoma. I don't know.
Which I thought was strange. He didn't seem like he was at the end. He had had all the success. I was really surprised.
Oh, he was in his 50s, wildly successful, but he had an offensive coordinator underneath him, Lincoln Riley, whom he just saw as the future of the franchise and decided, no, I'm going to step out now. And that was a surprise. But maybe he's ready now. He's had a good number of seasons to regroup, to get his energy back. Maybe he's ready to run a big program. He was a very effective recruiter for Oklahoma, but it's been a number of years since he's been in college football.
Well, and you know, he might be pulling an Urban Meyer where you're in the booth, so you're still seen, you're still remembered, you're still thought about, your success is still well known, and you're keeping yourself in the game. And, you know, really for Bob Stoops, who had, you know, a really good recruiting hotbed when he was at OU, not only in that part of Oklahoma, but Texas as well.
You bet.
I mean, the other top recruiting state in the nation is Florida. So that makes such good sense for him to be interested in a job like that if he truly wants to come back to coaching, to be in the SEC. And, I mean, Florida's got good people, good personnel. They just need to keep it up.
So some of the other names being bandied about for Florida include Luke Fickell, and one of your favorites, Lane Kiffin.
Oh, boy.
It's the same sort of names. They get recycled through.
They do.
Bill O'Brien's going to land somewhere soon.
Please help us all. Maybe at Samford.
maybe so. We shall see. Well, that remains to be seen in Florida. Now, it is interesting. The AP poll has come out. We'll get an updated CFP poll tomorrow. But lots of changes after this Saturday's action. Oregon fell to Utah, a big loss there.
Did I see that coming?
You did call that one and noted that there really won't be a Pac-12 team in the Final Four of football
again.
This year. Again, that's right. So Oregon has fallen, and at best they finished with only two losses. So I don't see a two-loss Pac-12 team making it that far. Ohio State crushed Michigan State, so Michigan State now will fall quite a bit as well.
That is... I mean, it was 21-0 Buckeyes in the first quarter, 56-7. I think if there had not been a time limit, Ohio State would still be scoring on Michigan State right now. I mean, it was such a beatdown. There was no resistance from Michigan State. I don't know what happened. And the ironic thing is that on Wednesday or sometime midweek, the Spartans have offered Mel Tucker a contract extension in the neighborhood of 10 years, $95 million.
Take the deal,
I
Mel.
Mean, I was like, Mel, after the end of the first quarter, get a clipboard and sign that thing now. Where is your DocuSign? Do not get out of this stadium without signing that thing.
You know, first of all, two observations about that. One, yes, he better sign it because one more loss like that and the offer will go away. Second, do you know anybody who makes $95 million whose first name is Mel? I mean, Mel Tucker, congratulations to him. And that's a monster deal.
It's monster. It's in the Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney, Jimbo Fisher category without him doing really as much as he should for that. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, he's done a phenomenal job this year with Michigan State. They are 9-2 and they play in a tough Big Ten division. I mean, that's impressive.
Sure it is.
But you look at his coaching record. He was 5-7 at Colorado, 2-5 last year at Michigan State, which was the first year. Now, that was a lot of COVID complications and this and that. But that's a pretty small sample size for the Spartans to go all in at $95 million when you just get absolutely shellacked by one of your big rivals. But you know what? He's a good guy, and If he can take in $95 million, do it.
Now, Dan Mullen fired at Florida. There's another head coach in college football who must be feeling the heat. Steve Sarkisian. He is the head coach of the University of Texas Longhorns. They lost their sixth game in a row to West Virginia. What is going on with the Longhorns? We ask this every week. How can
every
it be?
Every week. Do you know what we need to do before we talk about the Longhorns? We need to have our wonderful producer, Kevin, play. It's a circus in Austin. It is a circus. And you know who I blame? I blame athletic director Chris Del Conte.
Yeah.
I blame the Board of Regents. And I blame these boosters. What are you doing? It is one thing, okay, in the Big 12, if you are a powerful program that recruits well, that would be Texas, and you lose to the top players in the Big 12, that's going to happen. You drop a game to OU. You drop a game to OK State at this point. But when you lose six in a row, six consecutive, it hasn't happened since the 1950s, and your losses are to Kansas and West Virginia, these are two-win teams. Like, what? That is inexcusable. And what happened this week? Chris Del Conte says, we're behind Sark. We got him. No problem. We're going to give him another year. Does anyone realize that he does not have his locker room? People are transferring. I think Bevo's asking for a transfer. I mean, why not? He wants to enter the transfer portal. He does not have his locker room. They can't decide on a quarterback. They are a disaster. I think this is nuts. I don't think he ever should have been brought in. But the boosters have to get out of the way. The AD has to be strong about it. They need to make a change now. It's a disaster.
So you don't see Steve Sarkisian as the head coach of the University of Texas Longhorns next year?
Oh, they've said they're all in for him next year. He will be. And I'm going to just call it now. It's going to be another disastrous season.
All right.
I'm not even
going to
get into the off-field.
She said it before this year, and she's saying it before next year, and you've been right thus far. Dark days for the Longhorns in Austin. Tough, tough times.
Unless people, these cooks get out of the kitchen and let the right people make the right decisions.
All right. We will be right back. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Sports Map Radio NFL expert Howard Balzer. And we're going to ask him, are the Cardinals now the best positioned team sitting at 9-2 in the NFC? Are they going to get the first round bye? Because they'll have all their best players coming back when they return from their bye. That up next on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Have a car problem but don't know where to go? Maybe you're on a road trip when your car breaks down. Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts Shop Referral Program, take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly Auto location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com and click Find a Repair Shop to find a reputable repair facility or service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now on the Progressive Insurance Guest Line, and what is always the highlight of our week is Sports Map Radio Network NFL expert Howard Balzer. Howard, thanks for joining us again. You're on with David and Carla.
Great to be with you once again, and always enjoy the pump up there. Although I don't know, maybe I should listen to the show the rest of the week.
Yeah.
And I assume it's really, really good.
So, we don't say that this is the favorite part of the week for every segment with every guest. It's only with you.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
You are our favorite, but don't tell.
I won't breathe a word.
All right. Great win for the Cardinals yesterday. They eke out another win under Colt McCoy. They're 2-1 under McCoy, and they get a bye week. So are Murray and Hopkins, is the whole gang going to be back for a stretch run? And how well-positioned are these Cardinals?
They're about as well-positioned as you could be, really. And they expect and hope. I mean, they're not going to absolutely say that they will, but that's been pretty much the goal, as it turns out, I guess. Although Colt McCoy didn't acknowledge that yet during this past week, it was the most unsure he had been that he would be playing, because it was pretty darn close. And I think the team just had so much confidence in him and the team that they could bounce back from the previous week that they just figured, hey, we've got the bye. We play well on the road. And let's just go in there with what we got and just hope, try to win the game and then be in, like you said, great position after the bye. I mean, it's pretty phenomenal when you look, you know, Green Bay loses, Tennessee loses. Not that that affects the playoffs in the NFC, but the teams that are up there with the Cardinals in terms of best record in the conference certainly all lost, and they have the best record in the NFL. They're undefeated in the division at 4-0, and they're undefeated on the road at 6-0. It's pretty crazy what they've accomplished. And the way they played yesterday, over 40 minutes of possession time, the game shouldn't have been as close as it was, but they were playing with their third long snapper of the season, and he had some struggles there, and that led to Matt Prater contributed at least to him missing two short field goals and an extra point. Otherwise, the score wouldn't have even been as close as it was. But they find ways to win, and like I was saying, they're positioned very well to come back from the bye and be in great shape for the final six games of the regular season.
I mean, positioned very well with the best record in the NFL at 9-2. It's just incredibly impressive and really a testament to the coaching staff and the scheme that they're running and their next man up philosophy. It's amazing.
Yeah. It really is. And no matter what happens in this next week with them sitting idly by, they will still have the best record in the NFL after that's over. No one else can catch them. They might move within a half a game, but no one can catch them for that best record no matter what happens next weekend.
That's so crazy. So crazy good if you're a Cardinal fan. Okay, on the other side of that spectrum, Howard, are the Buffalo Bills, who've lost three of the last five. What is going on? Have they lost their mojo? I mean, they seem to be plagued by a lot of mistakes and a lot of turnovers. What's happening in Buffalo?
They've lost something. There's no doubt about it. And now you kind of get the feeling that they don't hear the footsteps. Those footsteps have trampled on them and actually moved ahead of them in the division. And that's the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that if they ever expected that. But the two losses that they've had in the last 3 weeks where, man, this game they just get blown out. They lose to Jacksonville. The offense is struggling. And you mentioned it, Carla. Mistakes, turnovers. That's what plagued Kansas City earlier in the season. And it leads – and I think sometimes we forget how complementary a sport football is. Not mm-hmm. compliment like you're great, but complementary in
like
terms of
like all three phases of the game.
Exactly, how one unit feeds on the other. And when you're having mistakes on offense and you're turning the ball over, well, usually that means turning over great field position to the opponent, and it puts your defense in a very difficult spot a lot of times. And so when you have too many of those, it's hard to overcome. And we've seen the Chiefs play a lot better defense over the last few weeks as the offense has stopped the turnovers. They didn't score a lot of points against Dallas. I'm sorry I'm digressing into Kansas City, but I see that as a similar situation. Mm-hmm. They had it early. Now they've rebounded from it and seem to have found their footing. Buffalo has been the opposite. They were just sailing along and great, and all of a sudden now, like you said, they're making mistakes. They give up, what was it, 41 points yesterday and five rushing touchdowns?
Yes.
I mean, that's just crazy. And the Colts are hot right now, but the Bills have to find a way to reverse this. And sometimes when you get into one of those little stretches, it's hard to get it going back the other way. But they really need to because, hey, coming down the home stretch of this season, hard to believe we're right around the corner from December. But they play the Patriots twice in the final 6 weeks of the season. So that's obviously going to tell a big tale of what happens in that division.
We're talking to Howard Balzer, NFL expert for the Sports Map Radio Network. Howard, I want to ask you, the Super Bowl takes place. We're all gathered there at SoFi Stadium. Who is more likely to be on the field, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady?
Ooh, I like that question.
And you know, someone mentioned that to me yesterday, quite honestly. Wouldn't that be something if it was both of them?
Oh, gosh. You know the hype during the regular season?
Oh, it would be endless. We'd all be tired of it.
If they both were to make it, the hype would just be ridiculous.
I'm asking you
to pick between the two.
That's a great question.
Buccaneers or Patriots?
Yeah. If I had to say right now which one it would be, I would still say perhaps the Buccaneers, but for this reason, because I think the path to the Super Bowl in the NFC might be a tad less, less tough, let's say, than it will be in the AFC. Right now, there's only five teams in the NFC with winning records. Mm. Only five. The AFC, I believe, has 10. And so I think whoever advances in the AFC, those matchups are going to be really difficult. So that's what might make it a little tougher for the Patriots to get through that gauntlet and then Tampa Bay. But Buccaneers, we're going to find out this evening, in a little bit, in a couple hours, if they really have some issues, if last week was just a blip against Washington, because they're playing a team that everyone looks at, Giants, big favorites, they should win easily. If they don't, then perhaps you start wondering, is this Buccaneer team, is it as good as it was last year? Because the offense is struggling a little bit, defense also. So I think they've got to get their act together if they're going to make that run, though.
Yeah, they need to win tonight, and I think they'll get it. But let me ask you about Seattle.
Ooh.
Because this season seems surely done.
Yeah,
3-7, way behind all the teams, your Cardinals in first place in the NFC West. But now Russell Wilson, after what has happened during the course of this year, do you see him returning to the Seattle Seahawks?
A lot could very well depend on what happens in their last seven games. And it's interesting you mentioned them because I chuckled a little bit earlier, Carla, after we talked about the Rams, and you said, and next, I thought you were going to mention Seattle at that point, and you went to Buffalo. But, yeah, I mean, the Seahawks, and, yesterday – Pete Carroll talked for about 7 minutes at his post-game press conference and then just
abruptly
walked out. He came back a half hour later, apologized, and said, I realize you guys have stories to write. I'm here to answer your questions, but it gets frustrating at times because you ask me questions and I don't have the answer. Well, when the head coach of the team acknowledges that he doesn't have the answer of how to fix this, you really wonder. But he's being honest because you have a team that they can't run the ball. And last year when they struggled for a stretch and everyone was blaming it on Wilson because he was making bad decisions and throwing interceptions, but Chris Carson was hurt. And when he's healthy and they have a running game, that was the best thing about the Seahawks when they were great because they had Marshawn Lynch. And when they've fallen off somewhat, and certainly not as far as this, it's when they weren't able to run the ball. And they couldn't run it yesterday consistently, couldn't make first downs on third down against the Cardinals. And now they're just in a horrible place at 3-7. So how does the season finish? If Russell Wilson was disappointed in things, how true that was, who knows, at the beginning of the last offseason, if he was disappointed and upset when they won 12 games in the regular season, how's he going to be if they only win 8 or 9 or whatever it might be and they're not even in the postseason? So it could very well be a reset for this franchise after this year and figure, hey, we've got a lot out of Russell Wilson. If we can get draft picks for him and start the rebuild, maybe it's time to do that now because they're not very good place and they're not very good in all phases of the game.
Agreed. Boy, what a change in Seattle. Another place that it looks like, I mean, not a rebuild, but it looks like something needs to happen is Cleveland, and I'm talking mainly about Baker Mayfield because he signed through 2022. He's due to make more than $18.5 million next season, the option year of his rookie contract. My question to you, Howard, is, so yesterday he posts a QBR of 8.6. He's got clear limitations on his talent level. Should the Browns give him a big payday? And up until yesterday, I thought the fans absolutely loved him and embraced him, and he was booed off the field yesterday.
Yeah.
What do you do with this?
Well, that's a $30 million question that you have 30 seconds to answer.
Oh, my goodness. And it's really about $100 million question.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, the team has really fallen down. It's not all him. It never is. But the quarterback gets the brunt of it. They just don't have a lot of support around him. They've been riddled by injuries. And then he doesn't show up for the post-game press conference. And his wife posts stuff on Instagram.
Oh, my gosh. First OBJ's dad, now his wife.
I don't know how they give him a big contract at this point. I just don't see how they could possibly do that. But what does that mean going into next year? That's a tough situation to be in.
Yeah, Howard, sure you remain the highlight of our week.
Yes,
thank you,
you
so much for joining us.
Appreciate it. Have a good night. Take care.
It's the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And now joining us on the Progressive Insurance Guest Line is Mike Pepper. He is on the ground for tonight's Monday night matchup between the Buccaneers and the Giants. Mike, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, it's a beautiful night here in Tampa, so looking forward to this one.
Well, it's an important game for the Bucs all of a sudden, having lost two in a row. What's the mood in Tampa? What happened? What's the mood in Tampa?
You know what? You can even go back further. Not since October 24th. Obviously, the bye week involved in there, too, a couple of road games. And, you know, the Bucs were seemed to fly high after that win against Chicago here. And the Saints, that game just kind of just got away from turnovers and penalties. That was the story. And, again, the penalties a big part of that game at Washington. And then I think what really is maybe motivating the team right now a little bit, you look at that 11-minute drive that Washington put together. The Bucs cut it down to a field goal with 10 minutes left, and then thinking, hey, you know, you got Tom Brady, get him off the field, and this one will be in the books. And Washington basically milked the clock, got that touchdown. And certainly, I don't think there's panic here in Tampa, but certainly I think the team's ready to show tonight that that pretty much was an exception to the rule.
So, Mike, here, Tom Brady has not lost three consecutive games since 2002. How do you evaluate his season?
Just
so
hear
far?
That, though. That's an amazing statement since 2002.
Years.
Three consecutive games. Never
it's
done
not
it.
Gonna happen tonight.
It will not happen.
And Mike sounds like good luck for the Bucs. I think it's going to be a good year for them.
I think you're right, but you know what? The funny thing is, even that statement says it, but how many players are going for 20 years?
Well, you there know, you go.
Since
right.
2002. That's the key.
And so, what do you
I'm
make
sorry,
of,
yeah.
Yeah, what do you make of his season so far? How do you evaluate Brady?
Well, I think, you know, Tom is the first. He's his biggest critic. I think when you go into it, he feels mm-hmm. he needs to take care of the football a little bit more. The last game, a couple of off-target throws. But, you know, the team's going out there. He's got Rob Gronkowski coming back tonight. That's going to be a big part of it. Obviously, Gronk tried to make a comeback against the Saints and just wasn't quite ready. But the next 3 weeks may have done it. Still without Antonio Brown, though. But, you know, I mean, it's not like you don't have an embarrassment of riches to begin with. Well, Godwin right. and Evans already there. Now you're going to add Gronk to it. So I think having Gronk back will allow that security blanket. Obviously, he likes Cam Brate, O.J. Howard into that tight end role. But, you know, when you talk combinations all time, you know, it's Gronk and Brady. So it's going to be a big part of this one, I believe, today. But I also think that the Bucs just being at home with the Bills losing yesterday, only one team remains unbeaten in the NFL this year, which I read that and I was pretty amazed. And, of course, it's the Buccaneers. So I'm going to try and keep that going tonight.
I'd love to ask you, Mike, about Tampa and the way they constructed the offseason. I mean, they got all that credit for bringing everybody back, but now there are whispers, was that smart? And I remember Theo Epstein, when he was running the Red Sox, after they won their World Series, he said, no, you just can't bring everybody back. You need to have some fresh juice in that locker room. Do you think that was the right move?
No, I mean, always, you got to argue either way. And the fact is, this team right now is 6-3, and with a Jameis Winston out with the Panthers and the Falcons, the goal for this team is just get to the playoffs. Last year, they had to go the road route the whole way. They were the wild card team. They went into Washington. They went into Green Bay. They went into New Orleans. So they went on the road to do it. I do personally think, and obviously, as we sit here at 6-3, this team. They believe it's the right way to do it. I do too. You know, I think, you know, so many people saying maybe unbeaten season before the year started, and that's not it. But it's just going to, I think it's going to get through the motions, get the team ready, and this team is preparing for what will be week 17, 18, and then the postseason, as opposed to having to worry about these first few weeks of the year. So I don't think it's the wrong move at all.
We're talking to Mike Pepper. He's on the ground today for the game between the Bucs and the Giants. Let's look at the Giants. Danny Dime has had sort of an up and down start to his career. You've been looking at this. What's your view of him now? Is he a guy who you think there's still hope can become a franchise quarterback for the Giants?
You know, I mean, anytime you're drafted into that into the top 10 there, as he was. I you know, to me, I don't live in the media market in New York, and there's so much more attention upon it. And I guess it's how he's he can react to it up there. The situation is, you know, he's had those great moments, including we saw one a couple of years ago, or like 3 years ago here in Tampa before Tom Brady. Last year, he took Tom Brady and down to the end where the Bucs squeezed away a victory up there in the Meadowlands. But I think with his running ability, it is, but I don't know if that consistency is going to be good enough for that New York media. So I'm maybe not the most equipped to answer that one just because I don't see that on a day-to-day basis. Certainly you see the talent level possibility, but the consistency level just has to be better.
Well, and you know, Mike, speaking of consistency in New York, yes, the fans and the media are tough, that's for sure. Saquon Barkley, he's officially active tonight. Yeah. He's expected to play. Yeah. Obviously, a generational-type talent, but consistency and the best ability being availability has really gone against him. Do you think he can put in a real stretch and just show this Giants team that they can depend on him?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, too. I know the last couple of weeks there has been a little bit of success, and Antonio Gibson and the Washington Redskins were able to run the ball in the box, as did Khalil Herbert, but that was in a game that was 38-3 with the Bears. So Barkley is going to have a tough task. Number one rated rush defense. Obviously, Vita Vea out tonight is going to help open it up a little bit, but this is probably not the game to get right. But Saquon is such a talent in catching that ball in the backfield, and that's where some of these backs have been able to attack the Buccaneers. So I think that's one of the interesting things you're going to have to look at. Obviously, you pointed it out. I mean, it's the injuries, and, you know, it just seems to be just freak injuries, too, whether it be the knee injury, whether it be the quad, and now this year rolling the ankle for the last 5 weeks. I think what we saw in his rookie year, he's got that ability, but he's got to put – I think that these last 7-8 weeks of the season for him really critical just to at least stay healthy and give the Giants some sort of consistency in that backfield.
Yeah, they need consistency really all over, and that's so true. Okay, Mike, I have to ask you.
I think you could argue, yeah, they are consistent, but it's just not in the good way.
Right. They need to be consistently good. How about that one for
yes,
change?
Yeah, that is good, yeah.
That would be awesome. Okay, speaking of consistency, another one on the Tampa Bay side. Antonio Brown. Oh, my gosh, he's consistently in the news. We can definitely depend on that. What's the latest with the fake vaccine card situation? What do we know?
I mean, I just go by what Bruce Arians says. Bruce Arians says there's no reason for us to believe anything's different. You know, obviously, if someone's got another investigation, they're able to show something there. But I think, I think that gets into that whole politically charged world that some people will have his back, some will not. But the league is going to be pretty consistent, and if they find any wrongdoing, that's going to be very troublesome for Antonio, given his past and his suspension record. But as of now, I mean, Bruce Arians, at least in addressing the media, hasn't said it. And until Antonio gets healthy, and this one really kind of went under the radar, too, on that health issue. You know, it was like, oh, okay, he kind of finished the game. But, you know, he hasn't even been close to taking the field and been in a walking boot for the last 4 or 5 weeks. So I take that back. He's been out of the walking boot the last 2 weeks, but still not close to getting on the field yet and easily marked out. But, you know, Brown's been a pretty upstanding person while here, but certainly the record coming into Tampa would put him with a target on his back if he indeed did falsify that vaccination.
All right, Mike, before we let you go, what's your prediction? Yeah. Who's going to win tonight and by how much?
Well, and I think, you know, the Bucs have been dominant at home, and obviously if you go back last year on a Monday night game, these two teams played, I believe it's just a 1 or 2 point game, Buccaneers kind of squeezing out, and that's where they seem to really kind of button down a little bit after that. I think tonight the Bucs are unbeaten at home. You get Gronk back. I think that they put up north of 30, and they hold the Giants under 20. So I think it's a comfortable 2-touchdown victory for the Buccaneers, my guess, tonight.
All right, well, we're nodding in agreement here. Really appreciate you joining us. He's Mike Pepper. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Dave and Carla. Y'all have a great night.
You too.
So, Carla, one other NFL matchup and topic of the weekend that we did not get to.
Oh, do tell.
Well, it was the Cleveland Browns, their win over Detroit. The best way to get healthy, the best way to feel like you're on track is to play the Lions. But the Browns eked by the Lions 13-10. And now Baker Mayfield's back in the news for a tweet that his wife sent out, of all things.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well.
Go, Emily.
Emily was upset. I think that people weren't giving Baker Mayfield enough credit for playing in pain. He is beat up. And, of course, the Browns have this problem that OBJ's dad was tweeting comments about OBJ not getting the ball enough a few weeks ago. And now Mayfield's wife wrote, "No one better say anything bad about Baker after this game. I don't think I have seen toughness like this in a while. Maybe the rest of our team should take the hint and get tougher."
I got to say, bad decision, M. Not a good idea. Go back to Kansas, because look at this. Not only are you defending your husband, which is embarrassing, he plays in the NFL, and he's the number one draft pick Heisman winner, but you are now throwing the rest of his team under the bus. Listen, it's admirable to play with an injury if you can play well. His QBR was 8.6 yesterday. He was a disaster. So what's admirable about ruining it for your team, not being able to lead your team to a victory, costing them a victory by your mistakes? I don't think that's admirable.
Well, Emily Mayfield will not win Baker any friends in the locker room for that. And then after the game, Mayfield certainly didn't win any friends. He declined to speak to reporters after the game. He had the third worst QBR performance of his career. So he was obviously very frustrated. He did not play at a good level. And then today, he responded when asked, "Well, how did you feel about the boos from the fans?" And he said, "Well, I don't care. Those are probably the same stupid fans who cheer loudly when we're on offense." So one thing we've always felt about Baker Mayfield and the Browns, whether the Browns would re-up him, is that he had the heart and mind of those Cleveland fans. Remember, he embraced going to Cleveland.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Taking number one overall. There are a lot of quarterbacks who wouldn't want to go to Cleveland, but he embraced the opportunity, embraced the city, and seemingly the fans loved him for it. But now it does feel like there's a different mood in the town of Cleveland.
Well, and let's take this game yesterday. While Baker had a tough game, a terrible game, 8.6 QBR, it was against not only the Detroit Lions, but the Jared Goff-less Detroit Lions.
Yep.
Tim Boyle was the quarterback.
Yep.
And Tim Boyle lit it up for 77 passing yards. Hello. Yep.
And nobody knows who Tim Boyle is.
No.
I mean,
and
this is a guy.
The Browns barely eked it out 13-10. So I think before people tweet, I mean, Baker kind of deserved the boos. If you want to know, I mean, if you're looking at numbers and you're looking at stats, Tim Boyle who? Almost beat you. So there we go.
How poetic of you.
Isn't that a beauty?
All right, when we come back, we are going to look ahead to tonight's game. It will be the Buccaneers and the Giants, and we make our own picks. We'll get pick from Kevin Zipak behind the glass. Buccaneers, Giants, Monday Night Football. We'll look at it when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
All right, before we get to our picks for tonight's Monday night matchup, the big fight, LeBron versus Isaiah Stewart, it was big-time viewing. I mean, that was quite a scene.
Ooh.
Isaiah Stewart kept coming and coming and coming.
For yeah, sure. Isaiah Stewart's no small guy. He's their center.
Listen, I would have been running if he were coming after me.
Jeez.
But there has now been an NBA
handed down some suspensions tonight.
So tell us the suspension breaking news.
LeBron has one game suspension, and Isaiah Stewart has two. He has two because he escalated what was instigated by LeBron. And
he,
and that he did. I mean, he mowed over
that.
His own teammates and coaches to go. I mean, he could have hurt a lot of people. Mm. He was incensed. And I honestly don't blame him for being incensed. And, wow, you don't want to be known as the Kermit Washington and the Rudy Tom Donovich. You don't want to be known for that. So yep. I think it was smart that it got to, you know, it ended when it did, because it could have been ugly. Boy, Isaiah Stewart was en fuego. Mm. And I can't blame him. The blood was gushing from his eye. That was really awful.
All right, Monday night matchup. The Giants are facing the Buccaneers in Tampa. And the point spread is 11 as I see it now. Buccaneers heavily favored to win at home. And, of course, we talked earlier about how Tom Brady has not lost three games in a row since 2002. It's hard to imagine that will happen tonight. But let's go around the horn here. Let's start with Zipak. Who do you like? 11 points in play here between the Buccaneers and the Giants.
I mean, come on. We're talking about Bruce Arians versus Joe Judge, Tom Brady versus Danny Dimes. I mean, this might be the easiest one that we pick all season long. I'm going for the Bucks break their losing streak, and I think they cover that number as well.
The problem is it's hard to argue with that logic.
I was just going to say, I say
it's no vote we all agree, but I mean, it's let's use logic here, right? I mean, come on, yeah. It's the Giants.
I know. I even like to be a Benedict Arnold, but I can't do it in this. I'm going with Kevin.
And you'll give up all those points?
I will. Man, I just can't go for Danny Dimes. I can't do it. And Joe Judge, I love that point too. Wow.
I do see the Buccaneers winning and winning big. And I think that it's going to be a Rob Gronkowski night. I think Brady's going to be very excited to have Gronk back on his team. And those two have been exceptional for so long together. They almost know where each other is going to be on any given play.
It's like his pacifier, Brady's pacifier with Gronkowski.
I might not have used that analogy, but I think it works. Yes, look, Gronk's going to have a great night tonight.
The comfort level. There
they've got an abundance of riches. I don't feel like the Bucs have run the ball that well this year. Fournette's back there, but they...
Fournette's inconsistent, but he's had some great games.
So we're all going Bucs tonight to cover 11 points. I certainly think that will be the outcome, but a fun game. Giants and Bucs. And a fun show. Thank you tonight for being with us. And really appreciate everyone listening. We'll be back next week on The Boss and the Gloss, Sports Map Radio.